Good morning, friends. Before we start, let's ask God to bless us. Gracious God, you know that which we are, that which we are not. You see us not just in our reality, but in your mercy. And we yield to your compassionate and loving hand. We ask that this morning, as we seek to know you, to know your words, to know you better, to know your very character, that we might emulate that you would give us clarity and hope in our work. Thank you for this community. We ask that you would be with us and guide us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Greetings and recognition differ from culture to culture. Probably the most common way we greet one another in Kansas is with a handshake, offered between peers or new acquaintances to acknowledge another person, or between men who are a little afraid to hug another man. The fist bump was popular in certain circles for a while, mostly California surfers and then teenagers, and some communities offer a simple head nod, up or down, depending on what you're trying to communicate. In New York, where I grew up, we often greeted one another with a one-cheek kiss, which was probably adopted by the Italian immigrants when they came over to Long Island. And in other communities, you might give a simple bow to acknowledge someone, even someone who is at your own social level. But bowing has a secondary use, in addition to serving as a greeting, which is to offer honor to someone else. This might be someone who is older than you, someone who is an important position, like a teacher or a government leader. It might be a ruler, even if you are not under their jurisdiction. And it could be used to show, essentially, that you are under someone else's authority. Because of this secondary meaning, bowing often shows up in religious spaces, in pretty much every religious practice in the world. Even our own Bible is filled with texts that talk about instructing those who read it to bow before the Lord, to pay God honor. In scenes like Revelation, where there are multitudes gathered, and the four beasts around the throne, and the 24 elders paying God honor, they who are honored, the elders in their community, lead the bowing before God. To bow to someone, whether social or religious, is a sign of submission, acknowledging your own place within that structure, whatever the structure might be. And submission is our spiritual discipline for today. It is one that is distinctly uncomfortable for our very American democratic sensibilities. Me first on that list. But as Christians, whose primary allegiance is to God over our own country, we have to be careful not to allow our social practices to override the call of our faith. To serve as a reminder and a blueprint for submission, we're going to read from Philippians chapter 2 today, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, some scholars think that this section of Philippians 2 is an early Christian hymn, or maybe something like a creed that they would say to one another, affirming the things that they believed. And the structure of the sentences might give us that. But I'm much less concerned about the structuring of the passage and much more with what it has to teach us. We often, at least in my household, can perceive submission as a passive action, something that is done because you're not strong enough or capable enough to resist. But this section of scripture does not portray submission in that way. We hear in the text the first action, an instruction to us and to the readers of this book, let the same mind be in you. This is actually a twofold action and not one, because first we have to figure out what the mind of Jesus is, and then we have to adopt it into our practice. And luckily, we get an explanation of that in the next few verses. And this portion is describing Jesus' actions as the ultimate submission. First, Jesus, who existed in solely divine form, did not grab onto that identity and position, but gave it up instead. Jesus empties himself, becomes a human child, humbles himself, becomes obedient to the will of God. And because of this, the text tells us Jesus was exalted, lifted up, given a name beyond every name, honor beyond every honor. Then, whether this is a prophecy or a promise or both, all creation, all creatures should bow and should confess that Jesus is the one. And I want us to highlight this morning the two submissive actions of Jesus in this text, and our two submissive actions that mirror Jesus's yielding. The first thing that Jesus submits to is the will of God. This is a communion action between the divine God, the Father, the divine Jesus, the Son, and the divine Holy Spirit. Not out of some separate weird thing that God gets to make decisions and everybody else has to go along with it. This is a mutual agreement and submission to the will and plan of God. Jesus gives us this example in agreeing and yielding to God's will, and this obedience requires a lot of Jesus. Submission is not an easy thing to do because it requires an awareness of your own place in the structure, the role that you are to play in a given story. God does not require something of Jesus. Jesus chooses to submit to the plan and desire of God, one that requires submission in order to offer true restoration to all of creation. True submission cannot be forced, coerced, demanded. It can only be given out of free will and choice. Jesus submits not because he is destined to, sorry to John Calvin, but because he looked in love at creation, understood the plan to eliminate death forever, and said, of course, of course. This submission led to suffering and death, but submitting to God meant following the will of God no matter where it took him. Jesus was willing to go wherever it led, even to death on a cross. The second thing that Jesus submits to is the reality of humanness. Jesus is fully divine, there is no question. But Jesus' choice to be born means that Jesus also agrees to full humanity. This is a tricky thing for us to understand as finite beings. But Jesus does not lose divine role and power, even as Jesus steps down from heaven to become a human. There is not humiliation in this action. This is not degrading, but it is an expression of Jesus' humility that he might become a part of creation. He did not consider divine status and other people's understanding and knowledge of his divine status as more important than the needs of the world. And because Jesus is in very nature God, absolutely divine, Jesus says yes to becoming a human, to expressing the infinite within a finite body. This is a demonstration of Jesus' godness that he would say yes to humanness. And it illustrates such a distinction from Adam, the first man, who, when he heard that if he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that there was the knowledge of God on the line, he rushed to it, greedy for it. But Jesus, who possessed full divinity, and heard that if he yielded to the limitation of a body, he rushed in agreement to save the rest of us. Self-emptying is an expression that shows just how focused on others the human life of Jesus was, different from the greed that is found in our human bent. I also think this submission shows a deep love for creation, for created things and order, for bodies and skin, for blood and bones. It honors creation that God would become a part of it. Though it was restrictive, though painful, though limiting, though threatening, Jesus becomes an embodied man out of love for that which was created. These examples of Jesus's choice to submit to God are our blueprint. And this passage, the verses that we read in the section above and below it, are a map for fulfilling our role in following Christ in submission to God. The first one's pretty clear. First, we follow God in submission to God. There is no submission greater or more necessary than this one. And you might think that by your baptism or your presence among this community that you have acted in full submission, and those are necessary elements of our yielding to God. But a half-yielded heart and mind is an unyielded heart and mind. Every morning, we have the choice to choose again to submit to God's will and teachings. Without a continual recommitment, we cannot allow our own will to take over. It is easy for our wandering selves. But it is important for us to know that God's will and our will are not always mortal enemies. In fact, God loving us and creating us out of love means that sometimes they are in agreement. But we need to know the difference between our will and God's will aligned, and our will and God's will the same. Our submission means that God's will, no matter how matching our own, always takes precedence. The second thing that we need to do is to submit to God by submitting to one another. This choice feels the most risky because it is sometimes hard in a moment to determine whether someone else has their own interests or yours in mind, if they care about the outcomes for you or those that you love. But serving, considering the needs of others, is the practice of Christian faith. It is a direct result of submitting to God, and it is Jesus' central work and teaching during his time on earth. In submitting to one another, we must become humble, not concerned for our own status, power, or advantage. The first section of our text tells us to look to other people's interests above our own, to consider other people as more important than ourselves. Remember, however, there is no righteousness in forgetting yourself entirely, even if you spend that energy seeking the will and good of others, nor is it especially holy to forget others and place yourself on top. Instead, the invitation that submission offers to us is to serve out of love for self, out of love for others, and most importantly, out of love for God. These two elements of submission for believers can be made real for us in a multitude of ways, but I think most clearly the double-fold path of humility and giving up power. Humility for us means the everyday work of allowing other people to have a say in our lives. It means allowing others to teach you, to mentor you, to guide you, and sometimes to correct you. This includes the people that you do not always like or trust or agree with, because being submitted to God means not gatekeeping the way that God communicates God's will in your life. Humility also means being eager to learn and to be shaped by God and godly people, and not perceiving something as too unimportant or too lowly to do or to learn. Our own pride and ego get in the way of our humility, but choosing to submit means letting that go. This goes hand in hand with our work to give up power. Submission as a release of control is a terrifying thing, especially if you in your life have not always had people who looked out for you, even when they should have, even when you were vulnerable. It can feel like you're opening yourself up to unnecessary threats. But our attempts to control every piece of our lives is not making us more righteous. Submission means yielding your own need to be in charge, trusting that God will work it out, and being willing to be a good follower. It also means choosing to be approachable and repentant when we are wrong, even when we're not sure that we are. A willingness to admit when we have chosen our own desire for power and safety over submission. In your work, this might mean not rushing to prove your seniority or expertise and being patient with your coworkers who are playing power games. In your home, this might mean considering if your way of structuring your household, your chores, might weight towards those with power and not towards equality. This might look like reevaluating your stance on something because someone that you love or someone that you don't love took the time to show you a new view. Most crucially, submission requires the humility to be wrong, to examine your beliefs, to be potentially perceived as foolish or insufficient, and to trade that to follow God's rule. To submit to God and to submit in service to one another is to have the same mind as Christ. Christians believe in modeling the life of Jesus in every way, and having the same mind of Jesus is modeling the life of Jesus. In this passage, we see the example of Jesus in our own pattern to be adopted, yielding to God, yielding to others. It does not make us passive or weak, nor is it an optional element of your Christian life. Without submission, we repeat the sins of selfishness and greed, of self-focus and pride. By following Jesus in submitting to God's will and submitting to humanity in love and sacrifice, we learn the power of choosing submission as a way to give God glory. In submitting, we bow in honor before God's throne, joining with all of those who praise the name and power of the one who is above every name.
You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.